Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This podcast of NPR's On Point with Tom Ashbrook is a production of WBUR Boston.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. An earthquake in Mideast politics today. Palestinians have gone to the polls and elected, it appears, Hamas to power. Hamas, the Islamic militant group that has carried out nearly 60 suicide bombings in Israel in the last 5 years. Hamas, the group that is committed by charter to the destruction of Israel. Hamas, which runs medical clinics and charity networks across the impoverished West Bank and Gaza, and is seen by many Palestinians as a champion of clean government. The prime minister and cabinet of Yasser Arafat's long-dominant Fatah party have quit. Democracy is in gear, and a group called terrorists by Washington and Israel is in power. Up next on Point, voting Hamas to victory. We will hear many voices in this hour, including a newly elected Hamas candidate, and an Israeli cabinet minister. But joining me first from Gaza City is Michael Matza, Middle East correspondent for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Michael, thanks very much for being with us. It was only last night that Fatah supporters were celebrating in the streets, firing guns into their air. The exit polls were saying 42% maybe Fatah, 35% Hamas. And now you're saying a Hamas victory and maybe a significant victory here. Why the miscalculation in early results?
Well, I think we all learn from this that exit polls are something that we should be very careful with. But I also think that they're particularly in a situation that's as superheated as this one. People don't always come out and say what they actually did. I think there's a certain kind of anxiety. I asked one voter after he voted yesterday how he voted, and he didn't want to say. And he said, well, that's my right to keep it private in a democratic system. And I said, yes, of course it is. And then he also said, and not everybody here is so democratic, so I think it's kind of better for me to just keep my vote private. You know, so I think that maybe the exit polling just was affected by that kind of thing.
What's the first interpretation of this apparent Hamas victory, Michael? A strong showing was anticipated, but a victory, and perhaps a victory of this scale, perhaps not. What's the why and wherefore here?
Well, the why is a deep amount of frustration with the ruling Fatah party, which had ruled the Palestinian Authority since its creation in 1994, and was getting perceived as quite corrupt and mismanaging affairs. And as one Palestinian analyst I spoke to today said, when the people punish, they punish hard. They were reacting mostly to socioeconomic things, conditions, internal disorder, lots of violence in a society that's kind of flooded with weapons and clan fighting and so on and so forth. And they weren't necessarily focusing the way most of the rest of the world does on what does this mean for the peace process and sort of external relations. And this was primarily motivated by a desire to punish Fatah for what the people saw as their failing to deliver for them after all this time.
The president, Mahmoud Abbas, elected last year, independent of this vote, is he likely to stay in office when there's a Hamas majority in the Palestinian parliament?
Well, he has said that if he can't implement his program, and that is trying to drive towards a two-state solution through negotiations, if he finds that he can't implement this program, he's not going to cling to his seat, as he said. He would basically take a hike. And there is some speculation that he could resign. But I think he's also under a certain amount of pressure as the president of the Palestinian Authority not to just bail out when the going gets hot, that if he were to resign, it would probably happen somewhere down the line, and I think he would feel some obligation to try and work the system a bit before he just throws his hands up.
But for now, a new crew apparently coming into majority in the Palestinian parliament, and it's Hamas. Michael Matza in Gaza City, thank you very much for talking with us today.
It's my pleasure, Tom.
With me on the line now is Mahmoud al-Ramahi. He is a Hamas member from the West Bank city of Ramallah who won a parliamentary seat in yesterday's elections. Dr. Mahmoud al-Ramahi, congratulations on your victory. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Dr. Ramahi, you're an anesthesiologist there, a professional. Hamas is committed by its charter to the destruction of Israel. Do you foresee that charter being changed?
No, listen, from the first day, from the 87 till today, there is no word said that we have in our programs to destruct Israel. There is an occupation, and we have to resist till this occupation will be ended. For that, we continue our resistance politically and armily. If the occupation will be ended, at that moment, we have no reason to continue our resistance, and we will agree to stop it. And we proved that in the last year in the truce, and we saw how Hamas can control her members.
Dr. Ramahi, Israel says it cannot talk with Hamas as long as it has this commitment to the destruction of Israel in its charter and as long as it continues to support violence. Will Hamas now oppose violence?
Listen, there is a big difference from the violence and the resistance. Now there is an occupation of the Israeli soldiers inside our cities, inside our lives. Once they withdraw from our land, at that time we will stop.
And does your land include Israel or not?
Listen, what Sheikh Ahmed Yassin said in 1997 and in 2002, that we can't accept as Hamas, Palestinian state in the land occupied in 67 with the Jerusalem capital and the demolition of settlements, release of prisoners, and return of refugees. Change of stop.
67 borders and a Jerusalem capital, but still lots of room for disagreement here. Dr. Mahmoud Al-Ramahi, anesthesiologist in Ramallah, one of the apparently victorious candidates for the Palestinian parliament. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
I'm joined now from Paris, France, by Khaled Al-Hroub. He is director of the Cambridge Arab Media Project at Cambridge University in England. He's author of Hamas, Political Thought and Practice. He's host of a weekly book review show on Al Jazeera Satellite Network. Khaled Al-Hroub, thank you very much for joining us.
With pleasure.
We just spoke with a winning Hamas candidate who said that he personally believes Hamas can't give up violence as long as there is an Israeli occupation. But he seemed to indicate that he doesn't support the Hamas charter position, which is the destruction of Israel. Is Hamas softening on that? It's still there in black and white in their charter. Israel will surely insist on the removal of that before they'll really deal with Hamas, or do you see it that way?
Well, to be fair with their discourse, and I wrote a book on Hamas, the term "the destruction of Israel" is not found. You cannot find this word, these kind of words. You know the wording, the destruction of Israel.
Every news report says their charter includes it. Is it being misinterpreted or?
No, I have it in Arabic and in English.
Yeah.
You can interpret that in that way. You can understand the way they write. In this way that, yes, they call for the end of Israel, but the destruction...
Well, but the end is end, right?
I mean, they call for an Islamic State. When you ask them what about Israel, they will say, well, it will be included within the Islamic... How is that going to be something very vague? And you can't get any answer to that. But they think...
To most Israelis, that would sound like the end of Israel.
As a political entity, in my view, yes. But when you ask them, they would say Jews are most welcome to stay and live in the Islamic State. Now, that's behind our back now. That was at the beginning of Hamas.
Will they soften on that? Will they change that? Will they drop that?
Yes, they have already softened on that years ago, actually, not before the elections. Back in 1994, they had this initiative declared by the head of political bureau, where basically they called for a Palestinian state in the Gaza Strip and the West Bank, which is more or less the same political program of the PLO and the Palestinian Authority. So I think they have gone really far away from their charter. And the charter itself, it's not that, shall I say, concrete document, and they are not proud of it. It was written by a couple of guys in Gaza Strip. They, in my view, maybe completely illiterate about the international affairs and things. So it was full of jargons and rhetoric.
But there it sits, and we've seen the violence, and it's not refuted. Khaled Al-Hroub, George Bush called for democracy in the Middle East, and now here we see a kind of transfer of power here to a radical Islamist party.
Is Washington prepared to deal with what's likely to come out of Middle East democracy?
Well, this is one of the big questions, actually, that George Bush's administration kept sort of evading from answering. Every now and then, whenever you ask any American official in the Middle East, what about Islamist movements, if any fair elections, whether in Egypt, in Jordan, I don't know, everywhere, Islamists might have the big share in the elections, then you will never have a clear and obvious answer. Now, you have it on the ground as a fact. And this is, for me, a direct test. This is the will of the people. They want a Hamas movement, whether we like it or not. I, myself, I don't like it, but this is the Palestinian now decision, and we have to deal with it. We have to have a sense of rationality and pragmatism to deal with the situation. And in my view, Hamas is not only softening. This is good for the Palestinians in the long run, because this will include the hardest organization at the heart of the political process. They have to face the situation. They have to deal with the outside world. They have to realize the complications surrounding the Palestinian issue. And it's not only the luxury of declaring nice statements when you are out of power. Mm-hmm. You can raise the ceiling to the highest point. Now you are in the cage. You have to deal with the dirty politics. This is good for the Palestinians. We are bridging the gap between the realists, if you like, and the idealists. Now, they are in the game. And Hamas, for the first time, they will face the harsh reality and deal with the situation in the first hand, in the sense of making national decisions, not only partisan decisions, mm-hmm. where they can get away with whatever they like.
I want to put that perspective, if I may, Khaled Al-Roub, to a member of Israel's cabinet. We're joined from Jerusalem by Meir Shitrit. He is Israeli Minister of Transportation and Minister of Education, Culture, and Sport. He's a member of Ariel Sharon's newly created Kadima Party, formerly with the Likud Party. Minister, Meir Shitrit, thanks for being with us.
Hello, good evening, Tom.
We're just hearing Khaled Al-Roub, who watches Hamas from Paris, saying this may ultimately be good for the Palestinians and Israelis, that Hamas has won a majority. How do you respond to that?
Look, do you really believe that a terror organization that called Hamas, that on his agenda he believed that he should exterminate the state of Israel, could be really a partner to peace? That seems to be ridiculous. In the situation of today, the Hamas had a covenant that called for the extermination of the state of Israel. The Hamas were responsible for the most of the suicide bombers attacks in Israel. And they did quite a big disaster to the people of Israel by sending suicide bombers into the heart of the state of Israel. Mm.
But now they've been elected, they're in power. What happens now?
Someone recognized the Oslo agreements, who signed and agreed to the agreements. And therefore, in my opinion, I'm quite wonder why the Palestinians had elected the Hamas. I believe that the government of Israel should, we're going to discuss the situation and the results and to analyze the situation, and only then we will make a decision what to do.
What do you imagine? Does this mean Israel may go further on the unilateral path, kind of build the barrier higher and forget negotiation? Is that possible?
Tom, I'm sorry that I cannot go to serious comment about what to do, because I really would like to wait until this will be discussed in the government of Israel on Sunday in the cabinet. Mm. We will discuss and analyze the situation, and then we come out with conclusions about what to do and how to do. Of course, you know, we said before the election that the Hamas has one way to go. If they cancel the covenant like the Fatah did in the past, mm-hmm. and cancel those items calling destruction of Israel, recognize the peace agreements with Israel, change their attitude at all, and collect all the illegal weapons from their own people, and then maybe they will change their attitude. They will change to be not Hamas.
That's a hopeful perspective or a possibility. But let me just get your interpretation of this result. Why do you think Hamas has come to power among the Palestinians?
I don't know. It could be a few reasons in the Palestinian territory. I wasn't surprised that the Hamas, won the election. It was one of the possibilities of the scenarios possible.
Okay.
One of the reasons I think that maybe the Palestinians, I cannot understand them, the Palestinians believe that the Hamas people were not touched with corruption. Maybe they represent for them better attitude. The fact that Hamas was collecting money in the world and giving all kinds of services to the people in the Palestinian Authority, which they could not get the services from Palestinian Authority, maybe that helped them as well. But for the long range, I think that the Palestinians did the wrong choice, because, as a matter of fact, the one who make the deal with Israel, the agreement with Israel, was the PLO,
mm-hmm.
and they quietly lead them until today to almost a state. And I don't know what will be the results of...
shall I make a comment on this?
I just, before you do, I have to let the minister go. I know, Meir Shitrit, thank you very much for joining us today.
Okay, good evening.
Israeli Cabinet Minister Meir Shitrit joining us there from Jerusalem. Khaled Al-Rub, I hear you.
Yeah, actually, I mean, I wish he'll stay with us, but one of the reasons for me why the Palestinians elected Hamas is that Israel has weakened the most peaceful Palestinian elements. They have eliminated them politically one by one. Then the Palestinians ended up with no choice but Hamas. But back to the point of electing what's so-called terrorist organization as a leader of the Palestinians, if you go back just a little bit in history, Menachem Begin, one of the Israeli prime ministers, he was in the official record of the British government back in the 40s and 50s, as a terrorist.
But there's
and
a lot of history here. We all know that.
No, just one second. My point is, he himself, he made peace with Egypt, mm-hmm. with Sadat, with Anwar Sadat. So when it comes to if you can block yourself, of course, with the rhetoric and jargon and says, okay, I will not do business with this party or that party because of history, because they did this and that. But you are as if you are punishing yourself and you don't want to see reality. Reality is there. Everybody in the situation is in the cage. And I would say everybody have blood in their hands. If everyone says, I am not going to shake hands with you, with him, with her, then we are all stuck.
Khaled Al-Rub, thank you very much for joining us.
With pleasure.
President Bush has been speaking just in the last few minutes to the issue of democracy in the Middle East. Let's listen.
I like the competition of ideas. I like people to have to go out and say, vote for me and here's what I'm going to do. There's something healthy and about a system that does that. And so the elections yesterday were very interesting. On the other hand, I don't see how you can be a partner in peace if you advocate the destruction of a country as part of your platform. And I know you can't be a partner in peace if you have if your party has got an armed wing. And so you know, the elections just took place. We will watch very carefully about the formation of the government. But I will continue to remind people about what I just said. That if your platform is the destruction of Israel, it means you're not a partner in peace, and we're interested in peace.
President Bush speaking just moments ago on the apparent Hamas victory in Palestinian parliamentary elections. I want to welcome into our conversation from East Jerusalem Robin Wright, diplomatic correspondent for The Washington Post. She is currently in the Middle East doing research on a book on the future of democracy in the Arab world. Robin Wright, thanks very much for joining us.
Nice to be with you.
So there's the president, even today, lauding democracy in the Middle East, but kind of rejecting the party it's put in power among the Palestinians for the region. How big a deal is this? We've got apparently a transition of power at the ballot box. This is not exactly an everyday event.
This is an extraordinary day for the Palestinians. For the past 10 years, they have had basically one branch of government, and that was the leader of the state. Now they have a parliament that is going to take its own role and be another voice in the system. We have to remember that the parliament is not going to be ruling everything, that
right.
Mahmoud Abbas is still the power in this nascent state. And I think one of the reasons that Condoleezza Rice and President Bush reached out to him very early in the day of these stunning results is to make sure that he doesn't do as was suggested by some, and that is resign from power, that he stays as the main political force. He has repeatedly stated that he is still committed to negotiating a peace agreement with Israel. And I think the U.S. clearly hopes that there will be a combination here, that Abbas will be the cover for Hamas in proceeding with negotiations, even if they go slower, even if they are tougher, that the process will not effectively break down because Hamas has been elected. And this is where we get into this very fuzzy ground now of, as you see some of the other groups in the Middle East, such as the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, even Hezbollah in Lebanon, begin to be part of the system, do you see some kind of moderation? And that's what we all have to wait and see.
Well, there's the big question, Robin. I mean, the president's putting a good face on it today, but of course there's a line of criticism that says, be careful what you wish for. If democracy succeeds or comes to the fore in the Middle East, you'll have Islamist governments, radical governments right across the region. We saw it in Algeria before, or the push in that direction. So what does this say? Is the president pushing toward stability here or toward something else?
Well, one of the tragedies of the last six decades is that the United States has had very close relations with authoritarian regimes. And as we begin to push for democracy, we're going to find that the Islamists are often the only parties that are alternatives, because the authoritarian rulers have exiled, executed, imprisoned, mm-hmm. put under house arrest the liberal Democrats that we would prefer to see as the alternative opposition parties. And that for the next decade, perhaps even the next generation, we are likely to see Islamist parties playing an ever-growing role if systems do indeed open up. They, after all, had the pulpit. They had the legitimacy of accepted religion among their people, and they have emerged quite often over the last decade or more as political forces within the system.
But does that push, then, the U.S. and those governments, if they emerge, toward a kind of apocalyptic conflict?
Well, you're making assumptions, and I'm not sure that...
Well, I'm looking at Iran, where you've got a fundamentalist regime. They're working for nuclear weapons. You've seen how hot the language is. It sounds like the makings of a big problem.
Oh, absolutely. Iran is an enormous problem right now.
What if you had six Irans?
One of the defining challenges for the United States in the 21st century. But it's a little bit difficult to compare, I mean, put them all in the same bag. They are enormously diverse. And the irony is, even within the Palestinian community, there are Hamas players who say very different things. This is a divided community. Mm-hmm. Gaza and the West Bank are very different types of places. The Palestinians within Jerusalem have had very different life experiences and have very different politics. What you've seen here is not a vote against Israel. It is primarily, overwhelmingly against, it's an internal political decision that they are rejecting the current power of Fatah, and they are looking for an alternative. Israel's, Israeli politics, the negotiations, the settlements, the wall, all of that clearly has some say. But what struck me when I was at all the polling stations yesterday is that I talked to a number of people who said they did not want a religious government. They did not want to see Islamic law. They wanted women to have the choice of going to work, wearing Islamic dress or not, doing having full lives, not just staying at home and bearing children. That, in fact, they also voted for Hamas because they wanted to see political change. They were totally disillusioned with Fatah's ability.
We sense that disillusionment, and yet Hamas is the Islamist party here. I want to get a call. So many listeners are wanting to get in. I've got Daoud Houri calling. I see from my notes here, Daoud, you're mayor of a West Bank town, Taibe. Is that correct?
Yes.
You're a Christian and a beer manufacturer. Now you've got an Islamist party coming to a majority power in the Palestinian parliament. How do you feel about it?
I think this is an internal matter of the Palestinian people and should be respected. This is basically democracy in action, and we must respect the decision of the Palestinian people.
I guess everyone will respect the decision, but what does it mean for peace and the future in the region? Does it mean more armed conflict, or do you see it as a step towards something better?
Give them a chance. I'm confident Hamas will deliver some kind of law, order, and freedom for the Palestinian people. The party is for reform and change, after all. And I think they should be given a chance, the U.S., the European Union, and the Israelis should listen, give Hamas a chance in the new government.
Do you work with Hamas politicians there in your town? You're a beer manufacturer. They're an Islamic party. Are they going to shut you down?
I hope not, and I am confident that will be a democratic Palestinian state, even though Hamas has the majority in the new parliament.
You're Christian. Are you worried about your minority religious rights as a non-Muslim under Hamas?
No, I'm not. We Christians go back in Palestinian land before even the Muslims. Always the late President Arafat mentioned Christians before Islam in his speeches, and always he was asked why they're a minority, and he always commented and said that the Palestinian Christians are always been here before us.
There's a voice from the West Bank town of Taibe, Dawood Houri, mayor of the town. Mr. Houri, thanks very much for being with us. Robbie's calling from Boston. Hi, Robbie, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, how are you?
Well, thanks. What do you think?
I'm a strong center Zionist, and I actually think this is a good thing for Israel ultimately.
Why?
The reason I think that is that basically I think it finally puts someone representing what most of the Palestinians feel, or a majority of Palestinians think, about negotiations and compromises with Israel. It puts them in power. I think it's going to end the charade that Sharon had to go through, that Rabin had to go through, all the charade of having to negotiate and have failed negotiations. Now all these negotiations with Abbas, they were bound to fail. He had no power. I think what's going to happen now is Kadima is set up to make the unilateral withdrawals to defensible borders that they've been planning to do. And I don't think anymore that the same pressure can be put on Israel to waste time sitting down at the table with people who really had no power to make an agreement, and in my opinion, no interest either to make an agreement.
So never mind the talking. Put up the barrier, put up the wall, do it unilaterally, and be done with it. Do you think that will work in the long term, Robbie?
Look, in the long term, there's still issues that are never going to be resolved until you sit, such as Jerusalem and the refugee issue.
Mm-hmm.
But in the time being, it can allow the Palestinians some time to build a civil society, to figure out exactly what they want from negotiations with Israel, rather than, as Hamas says they want right now, which is all of the land occupied by Israel,
mm-hmm.
for the Israelis to get out. And I think we spent years watching the charade, basically,
mm-hmm.
where Sharon would sit with Abbas, and we all knew it would lead to nowhere. And basically now, I think on both sides, you have a political party. When Kadima wins the election, I believe, in March, you're going to have a political party that represents what most of the Israelis want to do.
Robert, we've got the perspective, and our time is short. Let me put that to Robin Wright. Robin, here's the view that we've got a kind of a clearing away of what wasn't going to work anyway, and now you've got the real face of the Palestinians and of the Israelis. It may mean unilateralism on the Israeli side. It may mean a long time without real peace talks. And Robbie says that's okay.
Look, the next several months are going to be very uncertain because the Israelis do face their own election. It's quite possible, given Deputy Prime Minister Olmert's speech just two nights ago suggesting that Israel would have to make further withdrawals from the West Bank, that will be the option they choose. None of us know. This is a very uncertain period, and there's going to be a lot of sorting out on both the Palestinian and the Israeli sides.
But there's a hopeful note in Robbie's interpretation here, at least from his view. How do you see this overall, Robin? Do you see this as a hopeful development in the kind of democratic evolution of the region, or do you see it as a throwback into, you know, the ways of violence and the opposite of talking?
Look, I'm not going to pass judgment on whether it's good or bad. I think that in many ways we are seeing the outcome of a democratic experiment, and whether it's a good one or bad one, we'll have to see again over the next few years. I do think we've seen over the last generation a real change within the Palestinian community. There is accountability. There were 11 parties that ran in this election. I went to a debate a couple of nights before the election and was struck by the difference of opinion, the way people argued, the full range of opinion on every internal and foreign policy issue. That is a positive development. This in many ways will be watched very closely by the Arab world, by the Islamic world, to see how it plays out. And for that reason, it's important historically, not just for the Palestinians.
Is this going to make other Arab leaders more afraid of democracy?
I suspect short-term it will. There will be those who will argue, well, you see, you ask for democracy and you see what you get. there are many who have many countries that have outlawed Islamic parties and fear them the most. We have seen a trend, whether it's with Hezbollah in Lebanon, the Muslim Brotherhood winning the largest opposition role in Egypt's parliament just very recently, that there is this trend. And I suspect, again, the next decade or more, we'll see more of this.
Robin Wright, diplomatic correspondent for The Washington Post, joining us from East Jerusalem. Robin, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
What a day, what a headline. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.